Okay, Boker Tov. We are at the Mishnah, at the very bottom of Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. And today we are going to look into some of the details of the physical shofar, which may be used. And later on in the sugya, we're going to get into a very beautiful, elegant piece, which is the concept of mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu, and the possibility of being yotzei, the mitzvah of shofar, when the shofar itself is something that we are barred from benefiting from. Shofar shenistak v'dibko pasul. Now you'll notice on the outline, I didn't include the entire Mishnah. That's because we're looking at two different Mishnayot, and today, in our analysis of the Gemara, we're only going to get to the first part. So on Sunday's page, it'll include the line from the Mishnah that we're going to read today, but we'll go back to it Sunday in any case. Shofar shenistak v'dibko pasul. Let's say the shofar gets cracked and you glued it together, it's pasul. Dibek shivrei shofarot, he took pieces of a shofar and glued them together into a shofar, also pasul. Nikevu stamo, let's say that there was a hole and you plugged up the hole. There was a hole in the shofar that prevented the sound from coming out the right place, and you plugged it up. Im me'akev ha'tzkiyah pasul. If the plug gets in the way of the tzkiyah and impedes the blast, then it's pasul, bimlav kasher. Now, that's step one, and that's talking about the physical shofar, and that's the first thing that we will analyze. The second one is about the nature of sound. Hatokel l'toch habor. Now, from right at this point, we're assuming that you're standing outside of a pit, and you're blowing into a pit, but it's not so clear that that's where you're standing. The problem is that with a pit, or a bunker, or some sort of another enclosure, the sound that is heard outside may be the original sound, it may be an echo. Now, what we know about sound waves makes an echo not substantially different than the original sound, because it's all some sort of an echo. But from a halakhic perspective, when I hear the original sound, that's what I'm hearing. When I'm hearing an echo, what I'm really hearing is the sound as it is manufactured by the echo machine, be it the walls of the canyon or whatever. All right, and I'm commanded to hear the call of the shofar. All right, so watch. Hatokeh l'toch habor, l'toch hadut, it's like in a built-in bunker. L'toch hapitas, also similar building. Im kol shofar shama yatsa, im kol avara shama lo yatsa. If you heard the sound of the shofar, yotze, if you heard the sound of the echo, then lo yatsa. Now, the parallel here is somewhat interesting. You say v'chein, the parallel doesn't really sit together. We're comparing it and saying, if you are walking in back of a shul and you hear a shofar or you hear the Megillah read, all right, or you live right next door. So, if you intended to hear, in other words, you probably it means if you intended to fulfill the mitzvah, then you're yotzei, and if you didn't, then you're not. Now, by the way, what does that say about the group of people who are inside the shul? Does that mean they don't have to have intent? Well, then why mention this? Why not? Why Dafka pick somebody who's outside of the shul, and why not say anybody? Wherever you are, if you have intent, you're yotzei, and if not, you're not yotzei. Well, let's see what this means. The question is also, what kind of covenant are we insisting on? Intent to fulfill the mitzvah, intent to pay attention to the sound, intent to hear the sound itself and not the echo, unclear what's being mentioned here. And this piece we'll get to Sunday. Alpha piece is Zeshama, Zeshama, Zekivenibo, Zelo Kivenibo. They're pointing out something here which is really of interest. Even though both of them did the same physical action, they both heard. Nonetheless, one was Yotze because he had intent, the other was not Yotze because he did not have intent. Which means that even though we're talking here about a mitzvah, which is purely action-oriented, nonetheless, your intent prior to the action and during the action will generate the result. Now, clearly, having intent and not listening is not going to do anything for you. But if you have intent and listen, then you don't say, you don't have intent and have the same listening experience, or shall we say hearing experience, then you are not Yotze.
Is there a concept of implicit intent? In other words, if one comes to shul on Rosh Hashanah, isn't there an implicit intent that
Excellent.
You're here
Excellent point. Implicit intent, and that may be the reason why they don't mention somebody who's in shul. Because the person who's in shul, their presence already states their intent. If Daska, the guy who's outside, who there's nothing clear from either from the objective onlooker's perspective or from his own behavior that dictates what his purpose is. And therefore he has to say, I'm going to intend to be yotze with this. Right? So that's a very good question. And on Sunday, near the show, if you have a little extra time, we'll go beyond the daf and talk about it a little bit. Tana Rabbanan. Aroch v'kitzro kasher. We're now going back to the physical shofar. If you have a long shofar and you cut it so that it's shorter, kasher. Gerdol v'midol gildol kasher. By the way, notice, the Mishnah listed only invalidities. In one case, it could be valid depending on how much you plugged up the hole. Here, the Braita is going to list a lot of things that where you monkey with the shofar, and nonetheless it is kasher. The first one is if you shorten it. Second one is you whittle it. You cut away some of the stuff so you get down to the base level. Gildo kasher. Gildo means you whittle it. You whittle away and you get down to its base.
What does gildo mean?
It writes as oro, which is a little bit strange because the base is really cartilage. But it means you get down to the base cartilage of the thing. So in other words, it doesn't mean that when you get a shofar, you have to take it as is. It's too long, you can cut it. It's too heavy or too thick, you can whittle it away until you get to the base piece of cartilage. Sipau zahav, if you gold plated it, bimkom hanachat pasul. Now remember that we had in the previous Mishnah the idea that at least in the Mikdash the dafka would plate them with gold. Here's the thing: if you did plate it with gold, if you put it at the embouchure, then if those of you who ever played brass instruments, embouchure is your mouth meets the mouthpiece. If it's at that spot, then pasul. Shalom kom anachat peh kasher. But if you put it somewhere else, if you plate it somewhere else, then it's kasher. Tzipah u'zahav mifneim pasul. If you plate it inside, then it's pasul, because what's happened is now when you blow, you're now blowing a gold instrument as opposed to the shofar, because the inside wind chamber is what's generating the sound, and now it's being generated by a gold vessel. Mibachutz, if you did it on the outside. So now, in the shanakolok, mikamotchaya pasul. This is an add-on to the previous statement. And if you gold plate it outside, if in any way it changes the tone, then it's pasul. Vimlav kasher, which we already said that it's okay to plate it on the outside. One rider is that it cannot affect the sound. Nikevu stamo, this we have in the Mishnah. If the plug impedes the tzkiah, it's pasul. It doesn't mean it makes it impossible, because then there's no question. If you go and no sound comes out, there's nothing to talk about. We're talking about where the stima in some way affects the sound. Then it's pasul. If not, then it's kasher, which means you could plug up a hole in the shofar, and that's not if it's cracked. It's a hole. You could plug up the hole as long as the plug does not in any way affect the tzkiah. Now, time shofar v'toch shofar. This is a wild one. You have a small shofar, you put it inside a big shofar, and you blow the inside shofar. In kol pnimi shama yatsa, kol chitzon shama lo yatsa. So if the sound that comes out is the sound from the inside one, then it's fine. You just have kind of covered it. If, on the other hand, the sound that's being heard is the outside one, and in other words, somehow your breath and your blowing creates a sound that comes out of the outside chamber, it's a little hard to figure out how you would be able to do that, unless you put your mouth around the outside one, which means you have a huge mouth. Then lo yatsa, because effectively you're blowing into one and the other one is generating the sound. Tanu Rabbanan, we have another brayta. Girdo ben yisim ben machutz, if you whittle it away, whether from the inside or the outside, sometimes you might have a shofar where the embouchure is very tight, and you want to have a little more mouth room, and you want to go inside and dig away at the cartilage, that's okay. Or bachutz, kasher. Gerdov midog, yodo kasher. Even if you went all the way down to the original, what really is the material? Would you call it bone? Would you call it cartilage? It's cartilage. Hiniach shofar v'toch shofar, in kol pnimi yatshama yatsan, in kol chitzon shama v'yatsa. They have overlapping brightos here, including a lot of the same material. Now, a new one in this brighto. Hafacho v'takabo. If you turn it upside down and blew, what does that mean, turn it upside down and blew? So,
blow out the right. Opposite end?
Yeah, although we don't know that yet. We'll know it in a minute. Lo yatzav. Or Papa, lo tem b'dahav chiki kituna. He said, don't think that that means that you turned it inside out, like a garment or something. Ela shechivat ha-katzar v'kitzeret ha-rachav. Meaning that you just blew out of the wide end and the sound came out of the narrow end. I don't know what the havamin is that Rav Papa is suggesting. Don't think that it means you turned it inside out. I don't know how you could turn a shofar inside out, but don't think that's what it means. Rather, it means you blew out of it right. Now, why is that? Why is it invalid? If you can get a sound by the shofar, why do we care what end you're blowing out of? My time, the one pasuk we have today is a pasuk that we will find in the fourth parak is key to understanding the whole mitzvah of shofar. Because remember, Rosh Hashanah never says shofar. Never in the context of Rosh Hashanah do we hear the word shofar in the Torah. We hear the word truah, zichron truah, yom truah. We don't hear shofar. We find out that it's a shofar from the fact that in Yovel, the Torah says, vavartem shofavarta shofar truah. And now we know truah is in the shofar. Okay, and the word is vaha'avarta. Now, laha'avir in Tanakh means to make a big sound besides to pass. Vayavir koba machaneh. You find that Moshe Rabbeinu publicized that we've got enough stuff for the Mishkan, you have to bring more. However, here what they're playing with, vahavir means to pass, kederach avarato ba'inah, meaning you have to blow the shofar the same way the animal walks. Anyways, the next piece that the Mishnah mentioned was still in the first clause about the physical shofar, talked about taking pieces of a shofar and sticking them together. Now, that statement itself is patently obvious, because the minute that you say, if there's a crack and you seal it, then it's no good. Certainly take the pieces together, but here's what it builds to. Tana Rabbanan, Hosif Alav Kol Shu. Let's say you have a shofar, and you take another piece of a shofar, broken shofar, and you stick it on. Bein b'mino, bein shelo b'mino, whether or not it's the same kind of cartilage, you put some other material on there, pasul. If you had a hole and you had plugged it up, so according to this braita, it doesn't matter. Plugging up a hole is always invalid because you put some material there, even if it's the same physical material, you plugged it in, it's pasul. Rabbi Natan says that the invalidity is only if it's some other species, like some metal or whatever, but not if some more cartilage. That's valid. Now, b'mino kasher, let's see a comment on that. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'hushin ishtayer rubo. He said, that's as long as the majority of what's there is the original shofar, and now you've got a small piece you're adding on. Now, if that's really his comment, he's saying, when Rabbi Natan said, b'mino kasher, but that's only if the majority of what's there is the original shofar, then michlal, t'shelo b'mino, v'hushin ishtayer rubo pasul. You can infer then, that even if you put the smallest amount, shelo b'mino, it's invalid. Correct? So now, but some people learned Rabbi Yochanan's comment as being about the Seifa. Rabbi Natan said that if you use metal or wood or some other material, then it's Pasul. Rabbi Yochanan v'hushin ifchat rubo. He said that's as long as the majority of the original shofar is gone. Michlal v'mino ava b'hushin ifchat rubo kasher. So obviously that means that mino would be even if you're now making up majority of the shofar. So there's two ways to read this, that you can end up with opposite results, as I outlined on the page. Now, Sipah Zahav. Let's say you covered the shofar with Zahav. Same thing we already saw. Vimav Kasher. Now, here we're going to hear more details about the crack. Nistach Leorko, if it got cracked on the length direction of the shofar, Pasul. Liroch Bo, but if it got cracked in widthwise, Im Ishtayer Bo Shiur Tkiya Kasher. If there's enough left that there is shiur tkiya, meaning, let's say it got cracked widthwise high up on the shofar, so that from that point to the mouthpiece, there's a shiur shofar, then it's good. You don't have to cut it off. V'imlav pasul, v'chama shiur tkiya, what is that shiur? K'shemashim gamliyal, k'dei shechzen b'yado v'yera el l'chan u'l'chan. If you hold it in your hand, and you can still see some shofar on each side, which means shofar only has to be what? A tefach and mashu. Think about it. Because your hand is a tefach. Yeah. Tiny. Tiny shofar. Right. That's valid. Well, if it's democratic, then I'm assuming it's valid. But you have a shofar that's big enough to hold in your hand and some part can be seen. On each side is valid. Which means if you have a long shofar and there's a crack 6 inches up, it's good because from the mouthpiece to the crack, you've got shiur shofar. Hayakolo dako ave otsarud kasher, otsarur kasher. Let's say that the sound of the shofar is tinny, or deep, or a little hoarse. And shofarot all have different sounds. It's valid. And by the way, shofarot have multiple sounds. For some people, balitzkia, who are able to play songs, and, you know, and to play, I can play when the saints go marching in on the shofar. You know, you just have to learn how to play with your mouth a little bit, so you can get different sounds out of it. But that's already the tone. As far as that's already the register. As far as the quality of the sound goes, shofarot also do vary even in the same shofar. And certainly, from one to another, one is higher, one is lower, one is a little bit clearer, one is a little bit more cloudy or hoarse. They're all valid. Why? Shekola kolot ksherim b'shofar. Any sound is valid. Shachule lavu et Shmuel k'dachol v'taka bo yatsa. So they sent a message to Shmuel's father. This is now the Rebbe's period. That if you drill a hole in the shofar, it's valid. What do you mean? Every shofar is drilled. How do you think you get the hole? Meaning that you drilled within the bone. In other words, you didn't drill to make the hole. You drilled, and you had the open hole, and inside was the cartilage, and you drilled into that cartilage to make the hole bigger. It was not to cut the opening, but within the opening you cut. I might think that because the cartilage that's there is now in between you and the air hole, as it were, that it's chotzeis, k'mashmalan, that it's not. And so therefore, if you drill like that, and what you've got is, you look at the mouthpiece of the shofar, and you see inside some cartilage that's there, and it's drilled into there, it's still valid.
So a hole is considered min b'mino?
Well, if the cartilage that is. Right, because the bone, what you have is that there's a bone inside. Right, normally what they do is there's a bone inside, or some bone material inside that they remove. They remove it. And so then you've got an open air hole and some cartilage around it that you're blowing into. What if you don't remove it and you keep it inside? And you've got a hole, so you've got now at the front piece of the shofar some bone inside. That bone is a chatzitza between you and the wind passage. But because it's min b'mino, because it's all of one species, therefore it's not chotzeis. There's no chatzitza between you and the keren part, the horn part. All right, let's see. If you blow into this cavernous enclosure. Who is not Yotze? Only the people standing outside. Aval, Otana, Zimba, Bor, Yatsu. But anybody is inside. If you're standing outside and you blow the shofar inside of the bor, those people are Yotze for sure. Because if whatever echo they may be hearing, they're also hearing the sound. Whereas you on the outside may be chiefly hearing the echo. Tanya Namiach, we have a bright that supports our Huna. Unlike our Mishnah, it says Yatsa. But none lo Yatsa. Lo Shramina, but you could have Huna. Shramina. So Huna split must be a valid resolution to that contradiction, which is you're Yotze if you're inside the bor, you're not Yotze if you're outside the bor. Ika the Rami Lumira, some people didn't see it as a start out as a resolution, they first raised the contradiction. So Rav Huna here did not present it as an explanation, but rather as a resolution to a contradiction. Either way, they come up with the same result. Amar Rabba. Shama miktat tkiya b'bor, miktat tkiya al sfat habor. Yatsa. So let's say you're in the pit, you hear part of the tkiya, and while the guy is blowing, you climb out and you hear the rest of it outside, you're yotze, which means what? Hearing part of the tkiya is good enough. Right? Because while you're in the bor, it's good. When you're out of the bor, it's no good. Because now you're hearing an echo. So it's good enough. Now, miktat tkiya kodam shel rashacha, miktat tkiya lachar shel rashacha, lo yatsa. But let's say that you heard, and here we're getting very exact with the clock, this is, I'm sure, theoretical, because there's no way to measure it this way, but just remember, there's not a bunch of tkiyah, there's one tkiyah. You hear one tkiyah, starts just before Amud HaShachar, and goes into past Amud HaShachar, which is the b'dievet time that you yotze the mitzvah tkiyah, as we'll see in the Mishnah and Megillah. Then lo yatsa, which itself is a contradiction, because tell me your answer, is part of a tkiyah good enough or not? And by the way, we're going to assume now, for argument's sake, that the tkiyah was triple times as long as it needs to be, which means you for sure heard a proper amount in the proper place or time, but the tkiyah itself was longer, and part of it was done either in the improper time or you were in the improper place. Amalei Abaye, Mashna Hatam Devayina Kula Tkiyah Kibbechiyuv Avalaika. So Abaye asked his Rebbe. Rebbe, explain to me the difference. Over there with Amuna Shachar, you say it's no good because you have to hear all of it during a time of Chiyuv. Hachanami Bayina Kula Tkiyah Bechiyuv Avalaika. Same thing with the pit. You have to hear the entire Tkiyah, and he's playing a little bit with the words here because you're Chayiv wherever you are, but you're now not in a place where you can hear it properly. So Hachi Hashta, here's Rabbi's answer. Hatam laila lazman chiyuvahu klal. Laila is not a time of chiyuv. It's yom trua. And therefore, before when Hashachah, there is no mitzvah of shofar. Hacha bor makom chiyuvahu lotan ozim abor. But the bor is a place of chiyuv, and the people standing in the bor could be yotzeh. The problem is for the people who are not inside the bor. Fine. But the people in the bor are certainly yotzeh. So therefore, this is a proper tkiyah. You just moved. So you heard a part of a proper tkiyah. Now, one thing that Rava was not willing to say was to distinguish, and you see the Gemara will reject this outright, was to distinguish between hearing the beginning improperly or the end improperly. In the Amud HaShachar case, it started out bad because it was too early. In the pit case, it started out good because you started out in the pit. So you could say all he cares about is the beginning of the tkiyah. As long as you heard a tkiyah where the guy starts blowing and you hear a shiur tkiyah at the right time or in the right place, you're fine. In which case we would say, if you heard a tkiyah that started before Shkiyat Tachama or Seta Kochavim and went after Seta Kochavim at the end of Rosh Hashanah, then according to me, you would be Yoseh because it started good. They're not willing to play that. But maybe the Savar Rabbah, watch this, obviously Rabbah holds, Shama Sof Tkiyah Belo Tchilat Tkiyah Yatsa. If you hear the end of a tkiyah without the beginning of a tkiyah Yatsa, they're equating the two. They're saying, hearing part of a tkiyah is good, beginning or end is the same. Same thing, therefore, if you hear the beginning properly and without the end, you're Yotzei. Now we're going to challenge that. Watch, Toshma. Takabri Shona Mashach Mashniach Kishtayim. Remember the order of tkiyah. We'll get to this in the fourth parak. Tkiyah, Trua, Tkiyah. That's the order, right? What's a Trua? Three opinions, or three possibilities. Therefore, what do? Tkiyah, Shrem, Trua, Tkiyah. Tkiyah, Shrem, Trua, Tkiyah. Tkiyah, Shrem, Trua, Tkiyah. Then we do the same thing and substitute Shvarim for the middle. Then we do the same thing and substitute Trua for the middle. Now, you notice that you're going Tkiyah, X, Tkiyah, Tkiyah, X, Tkiyah. That Tkiyah that's at the end, and then the next one that's at the beginning, what if you ran that all one long one? So you did Tkiyah, Trua, Tkiyah, Trua, Tkiyah. Right? Ein biyado el achat. All you've accomplished is one long Tkiyah. V'amai, why don't we say, Tisalik Lavatarte, say, after all, you had a 10-second skia there, so let's imagine it as being, in Rava's world, half of this and half of that, because each one of them is long enough. So if Rava says that hearing part of a skia is good, why don't we just take the super long skia and imagine it as two and make it work? And what's the obvious answer, Phil? I can see on your face. We're not going to take one long sound and arbitrarily and theoretically divide it into two. It's one long sound. That's very different than saying if I heard a long sound, part of which was I heard properly and part of it I didn't hear properly. To say that I'll take the part that I heard properly, but to take one long sound that's all proper and now say I'm going to call it two sounds, that's arbitrary. It's arbitrary division. Toshma. After all, if you're hearing the sound, even though you hear the echo, what did you first hear? You first heard the sound. So therefore, why don't we say in Rabbah's world, why don't we say, well, you heard the sound, you're Yotzei. Afterwards, you heard the echo, I don't care about that. So what's the case that we construct to make this work? Meaning, you're in the pit, you start blowing, and you continue blowing as you walk out of the pit. Well, assume a pit with steps. Right? You're in a pit, you start blowing, and you keep that sound going as you come out. Which means that the reason that you are Yotze in this case is because you yourself were in the pit. So Yachi Maila Memra, So Maudatema Zina Demapik Reshe Bakati Shofar Babor. Ah, because in that case you might say that you're not Yotze because sometimes you might come out and the shofar is still in the bor, and now you're hearing an echo. Kamarviv Kola, so Kamash Falan that you Yotze. But now he comes up with a very bizarre case that when are you Yotze with the thing in the pit is when you're with the shofar the whole time, in the pit and then out of the pit. That's not the way that we read it. The way we read it is you're blowing it from outside into the pit. People inside the pit are Yotze, and the people outside of the pit are not Yotze. Okay, last piece we're going to see today goes into the issue of Isurei Hanah. Remember, there's a whole class of things that are Isurei Hanah that range from Kodshim to Avodah Zarah to things you personally distance yourself from, like Nadarim. I'm Rav Yehuda. B'shofar shel Olah lo yitka v'imtaka yasa. You have a Korban Olah. Korban Olah was killed, was already shechted, and now you take the shofar and you used it. So you shouldn't use it, but if you did, you yotze. We'll see why. B'shofar shel shlamim lo yitka v'imtaka lo yasa. B'shlamim not. Okay? My time, huh? So the answer is Olah bat mi'ilahi. A korban olah is subject to me'ilah, because you're not allowed to get any benefit from it. And therefore, what happens when you do me'ilah on something? You violate me'ilah, but what happens to the thing? It's yotze v'chulin. So therefore, right now, it's already something you can use. Although you now owe the mikdash, you know, the korban and the payments and the fifth, etc. Kevin de ma'alba nafka lo l'chulin. And we're going to see why this is problematic sequentially. Shlamim de lav b'nei me'ilah ninu. Why are shlamim not b'nei me'ilah? Because you're going to eat shlamim. They're yours. The part that goes on his back, and the rest of it's yours. So Isur Hu Derachid Bahu, all you did was misuse Kodshin. And that Isur never goes away because there's no Me'ilah to remove it. So Malkiv Lo Rava, Eman Mal, Rava says, wait a second, when does the Me'ilah happen? Levato Detaka, it's by using it for yourself with the Tzkiya, that's what now is the Me'ilah that makes it Chulin, which means when you blew it, it wasn't yet Chulin.
To make it into a shofar, you have to remove it from the animal's head.
Yeah, that's not me'ilah. That's not benefit. Me'ilah doesn't mean you touch it or mess with it. It means that you benefit from it. But when do you benefit from it in this thinking? When you blow it. Well, when you blew it, it was still kodshim. Kataka b'isura taka. Ela amar Rava says differently. Echad zeh v'echad zeh lo yasa. You never yotze if you use kodshim. Hadar amar, then he turns around and says, by the way, I changed my mind. Why? To mitzvot, lav lahedot nitnu. Mitzvot are not considered benefit. And therefore, the issur of me'ilah and the issur of using kodshim for that is the benefit. You want to play in a concert, and you at the last minute, you don't have a horn, and so you grab a korban and you kill it, and you take off the horn from the korban and you blew it, that's already hana, that's me'ilah. But for a mitzvah, the mitzvah itself is not considered hana. And watch an application of that. You find an animal that was dedicated to Avodah Zarah. You pull its horn off and use it. Why? Because that's not considered hana'ah. Shofar shel ir hanidachat. But if you have that city that's supposed to be destroyed, the ir hanidachat, where majority of people have done Avodah Zarah, etc., then lo yitzka v'taka lo yatsa. This takes us back to the third parak in Sukkah, which is, Maitama Irani Dachat Ketuti Michtat Shiure. Since Irani Dachat is everything is supposed to be destroyed, there's a mitzvah to destroy everything there. I said, well, there's no mitzvah to destroy, you just have to avoid it. But Irani Dachat is supposed to destroy it, therefore everything there is considered destroyed, which is why, remember, Lulav Shal Irani Dachat is no good, because we consider it already chopped up. Here it's already too small for a shear because it's already going to be destroyed. Last piece that we're going to do this morning. I took a net of hana. I'm not going to get any hana from you. You're not going to get hana from me, however direction it works. We're allowed to blow shofar for each other. Why? Because mitzvah lav lahenonim. Hamudah hana mi shofar mutar litkoa lo tkiya shel mitzvah. If I take hana, I say, I'm not going to get hana from that shofar. I'm allowed to use it for the mitzvah. Now you're going to see that mitzvah lav lahenonim is not so rock hard. So far, it's rock hard. So any issue of hana doesn't apply to the mitzvah of shofar, and therefore anything where you're prohibited from getting hana, but where the physical object remains and is not subject to destruction, we say you're yotze, unlike you're anidacha. But the amarav, amudah ana mechavero, mazeh alav mechatat, bimotak shamin. Let's say I'm not allowed to give you hana. I can be the Kohen who spritzes the Mechatat on you, but only in the winter. Why not in the summer? Because there is Hanoah there. Because you're getting, it's hot, and you're getting something wet. It doesn't matter how small it is. So in other words, Mitzvah Lav Lehenot Nitnu is not so rock hard, because when it involves something with the physical senses of touch and of taste, then if there's a real benefit,
there's an attendant Hanoah.
Right. Whereas we don't have that with sound. We say that sound inherently doesn't have an Hanoah. No.
It's a drop.
It's a drop, that's right.
It's less than a drop.
So we'll see a grosser example. If I said, I'm not getting an off from that Mayan. That Mayan was built by a guy that I know was built by Walter Mulholland. Walter Mulholland and William Mulholland. What was his name? Right? Mulholland. And I think he was a rat and he stole the water from the Owen Valley. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm taking on Yitzhar Noah. I'm allowed to be Tovel in that spring. Tovel for mitzvah. Not bait. Tovel for mitzvah, but only in the winter. Not in the summer. Why? Well, it's fairly obvious, because besides the mitzvah, I'm also getting on, I'm going and bathing. So remember, mitzvah lavahenodinu is not a one-shot deal. There are variations and bumps in the road in which things depend really on the nature of the mitzvah. Right? Which would then come to, for example, what would you do if a Kohen was mudar hanor from you, can you give him truma? See the problem? Truma is a mitzvah. On the other hand, the whole point of truma is for him to get benefit and for him to eat it. So it would seem to be that you can't. What? Same thing with the mitzvah. The tefillah. Going to the mitzvah. The way to do it is to go and get wet. Which means, by the way, if you're tameh and you live in a society in which all the mikvaot are springs and it's summertime, yippee-yay-okay-yay, I get to go on the mikvah and cool off. Nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing inherently problematic about that within the context of the mitzvah, but it does mean that there is real hanah there, which means if you have a problem with that mayan, for whatever reason, then you can't go into it in the summer. But in the winter, when there is no hanah, you could. And then we're not going to make distinctions here, at least we don't in this Gemara, between a guy who's very dirty, remember in Beitza? Right? We said that if somebody, that a person could go into the mikvah on Shabbos. What's the Hill's opinion? You could be tovel on Shabbos. Why? Because when a person goes to the mikvah, when it goes to the mikvah, it doesn't look like it's the opposite. It doesn't look like they're trying to fix themselves. But rather, bathing. They're going in to cool off. So what about in the winter? There's something, you know what? Sometimes a person's very dirty, even in the winter. He's going to go into a thing. What if it's dirty water? Yeah, if a person's really, really hot, he'll go in. So he said, in every circumstance, there's always a way to explain what he's doing as Hanoah. This is the flip. Here we've got to find that it's not Hanoah. Well, that, at some point, you can't do. When a person goes into a cool, beautiful, clear spring on a hot summer's day for Tefillah Shel Mitzvah, there's no question there's Hanoah, and in that case, it would be awesome.